I want you to turn to Habakkuk chapter 2 tonight. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. That's in the Old Testament. You know where Jonah, Nahum, and Habakkuk. And there's another one in there. Micah, I believe, is in there. But anyway, in that part, in the minor prophets, as they're called, but in Habakkuk chapter 2, don't stand up yet. What I want to do tonight, before I get into the message, I want to do a little bit of review of the things we've talked about. I'm not going to re-preach the other messages, but just kind of bring you up to date where we've been since Sunday school on Sunday morning and in this missions revival. And in Sunday school, as the pastor already mentioned, we brought a lesson called To Your Account. And I said that the passage read in Philippians chapter 4 was Paul's awkward thank you to the church at Philippi. You know, he was grateful that they had supported him, but he wanted them to know it wasn't because he desired a gift. It's rather that he desired fruit that may abound to their account. We talked about the fact that all Christians have a heavenly account. And by the way, we're living our lives and what we give and what we do as we live our lives, we're adding to that account. We talked about missions giving being a good way to add to that account. We talked about some other things as well. And then on Sunday morning, we took David's famous words as he was getting ready to go against Goliath, is there not a cause? And the cause that day was the defeat of Goliath and the Philistine armies. But the cause that we need to be focused on as Christians today is the cause of Jesus Christ. We talked a few things about that, and we said that if we're going to be committed to the cause of Christ, it involves three things. We need to be committed to the person of Jesus Christ in salvation, and also a commitment to become a disciple, a real follower of Jesus Christ, and a commitment to a mission, which is the Great Commission. And that's what we've been talking about this week in every message. And it's also a commitment to a godly life. And we talked about the cause of Jesus Christ. And I mentioned at the close of that message, there are many causes that I appreciate and I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for those that are dedicated to the cause of being in the military and protecting our country and the service. I'm thankful for that very much. And I'm those that have committed their lives to medicine and the science of medicine. And I and many of you have benefited from the knowledge that they have in surgeries that have prolonged our lives and kept us around. I had heart surgery many years ago, and thank the Lord that I appreciate those. But I have embraced the cause of Jesus Christ, and I challenge you to embrace that and make that central in your life. And then Sunday night, we talked about equal parts. Talked about after David and his men had gone off for a while, and while they were gone, the city of Ziklag, which was their city, was burned and looted, and they took all the wives and the children with them, the Amalekites did there. But when David caught up with them and defeated them and got not only their wives and children and everything they had lost back, but great spoils that this group of marauders had taken from other groups of people. He got all those things, and when he got back to 200 men who could not go all the way to the battle, they stayed behind at the brook Besor, and David made a decree of equal parts. Remember that? He said, they shall part alike. He had some wicked, selfish men who said, these guys can just take their wives and kids and get out of here. We'll divide up the spoil. And David said, we're not doing that. And I liken that to the fact that there are those what we're talking about here this week, that go forth to the battle, those are our missionaries. They are our church planters, whether overseas or like the Schaefers here, planting a church right here in the United States. They're at the forefront of the battle, and they're very important, and thank God for them. But God's decree of equal parts, I think, goes still in our time today, David's decree there. There are those who must tarry by the stuff. Amen. And the truth is, Ziklag was looted and burned because nobody tarried by the stuff. We talked about the importance of every child of God. If God calls us to go somewhere else and be a missionary or a church planter or serve Him in those capacities, those kind of capacities, we need to go. But if He doesn't call us, we need to tarry by the stuff. And that involves being the most faithful, godly Christians we can be and involved in the work of the Lord as we should be. Because there should be equal commitment in our lives to the cause of Christ as their commitment is to the cause of Christ in their life. And I'm not minimizing sacrifices that are made to those that go to the front of the battle, but there are battles to fight, victories to win right where we are, and great responsibilities for us as well. And we tried to impress that upon you. And then Monday night, we brought a message called Missions is Not a Novelty, Rather It's the Heartbeat of the Church. It's not a sideline thing. Our command from God is all the world and every creature. And that command is given to every local church. And if we're going to be really involved in that like we ought to be, it's not going to be a novelty. It's not going to be a sideline thing. It's going to be a central thing. It needs to be central to the mission of this church and to every one of us as well. And we emphasize that missionaries need us. We know that. But I also tried to emphasize we need the missionaries. Since the Great Commission to us is to get the gospel out at home and abroad and do it at the same time, we can't get it done if we don't have those who will go on our behalf. And so we need each other, and we need to have that spirit of interaction. And then last night, that ought to be somewhat fresh on some of your minds here, but regarding the Great Commission, we took from the book of Isaiah, the thought of, here am I, send me. And five things, and I'll not preach those tonight, but here am I to give. And I'm going to talk about that tonight probably more directly than I have any time this week. Here am I to go, whether it's to the mission field, to plant a church somewhere else, or to go for the Lord right where we are. We ought to all be going and taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. Here am I to pray. And we talked about a number of things that we can put on our prayer list as we pray for our missionaries. And you'll notice things that I talked about at last night. If you read the missionaries' prayer letters, you'll see those as recurring things in their letters as far as prayer needs. But some of them, I was a lot more specific than the general there, to pray for the missionaries. And then here am I to encourage the missionaries. And here am I to walk with the Lord and serve Him faithfully and challenge you with the thought that every one of us should be a full-time Christian. Amen? We're not all going to be called into full-time Christian service, but we all need to be full-time Christians. Now tonight, I want to speak on the subject of faith and faith promise giving and some thoughts about that tonight. I know you'll not receive your commitments for some time, so you might want to jot some of these things down if God brings them to your attention in a way you think it's worth remembering, so you can have these things on your mind as you're looking toward that. But in Habakkuk chapter 2, only one verse, but I want us to stand together as we show respect for the reading of God's Word. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. And I'll read this and have a word of prayer, and you can be seated, and we'll get into the message tonight. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your Word, and Lord, the brief portion we've just read and those things we reviewed and those things we'll preach tonight from other passages. I pray your blessings will be upon the not only the reading of thy Word, but the teaching and preaching of thy Word. I pray you'll give me clarity of thought and strength of voice, the real leadership of the Holy Spirit, to bring the messages, the message you'd want to be brought. And I pray that you'd give each person an open heart and willing to hear from you and a spirit of being willing to heed what you would say to them in their hearts this night. Father, I pray tonight, be pleased by the message, but even more so, you'll be pleased by the response of people to your Word, and your Spirit is your work. We'll praise you for what you do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. Our text says, the just shall live by his faith. My pastor that I served under for a couple of years out of Bible college, and actually out of that church went off to Bible college, my pastor used to say the theme of the Bible is the just shall live by faith. And this is the first mention of that. It's mentioned other times in the Word of God in Romans and Galatians and Hebrews where it says the just shall live by faith. But the first mention makes it real clear, the just shall live by his faith. And I'm not going to preach a message all on that tonight, but you can't live on the faith of somebody else. It has to be your own faith. And your faith has to be in God. And your faith has to be in God's Word and His promises and His direction and His warnings We need to live by our own personal faith. The truth is, we live by faith. If we're at what we ought to be, we have life by faith. Amen? That's how we got saved. That's how we have spiritual and eternal life, is we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We received Him by faith. So we have life by faith, and now that we have life by faith, we're supposed to live our lives by faith. When it says His faith, again, it needs to be your own personal. Now, I believe tonight, as we speak just for a few minutes tonight about faith, promise, missions, offering. I know it's not new to the church, but I think it's good to review it from time to time, and especially at this time, as we're Missions Month and so forth, and emphasizing these things, what it is and what it means and how to go about it. But I would just want to say tonight, I believe that faith, promise, missions, offerings are a way to live by faith and at the same time do more for the cause of Christ across the country and around the world. I think it's valuable for the cause of Christ out there, but I think it's valuable for your life and my life when we live by faith. And certainly in the area of finances, we need to learn to live by faith. When we talk about living by faith, and we talk about faith, promise, missions, offering, let's talk about the word faith for a moment. I believe in our faith, promise, missions, offering, we're to have faith that God will bless and multiply our faith, promise, offering. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with whatsoever you meet withal, it shall be meted to you again." In other words, it'll be given into your bosom there, is what the Word of God says there. God is talking about the fact that He it's sow and reaping. Now, when I think about Luke 6:38, I can't help but think about the law of sowing and reaping. You know, as we give, it comes back to us. And faith, promise, missions, offering is so important for us to understand. I learned a long time ago, you can't outgive God. If you're right with God and walking with God and you're giving, you're not going to give yourself broke. You give by the will and direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life, God will supply your needs. Malachi 3:8, I'm going to read that one tonight because it talks about tithes and offerings. But Malachi 3:8, he said, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings," is what it says. My pastor in Bible college used to say, "In tithes and in faith promise offering." You know, we knew it wasn't in there, but he was talking about that's one of the offerings that we do give there. And then he said, "You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Now, he said, "Well, what's a curse? It's the opposite of a blessing." And then in verse 10, he says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I'll not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake." And what promises there are on giving right there. And by the way, he says, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord." I need to be careful I don't get way off on this and say a lot about it because so much can be said. But I'll just say this. It's the only time in the Bible God ever says, "Prove me." You know, He just starts out His Word, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void." And He doesn't try to give some what theologians would call some big apologetic or great big explanation or proof that this is true. He just said, "I did it. And here it is." But when it comes to giving, He is challenging us to put Him to the test. When He says, "Prove me," what He's saying is, "See if I'll not do what I say I'll do. Open the windows of heaven, pour ye out a blessing, rebuke the devourer." And I'm going to talk about those a little bit more here in a minute. But I want you to know, when you're thinking about, I assume you use some cards to pass out, Pastor, when you come to Faith Promise, and you're thinking about what you're going to put on your card, your weekly promise to Faith Promise Missions, you need to understand, don't expect your faith promise offering to drop out of heaven in a basket labeled "from God" for your faith promise offering. It's not hocus pocus. It's not magic. I view faith giving this way. I believe faith giving is giving a sacrificial gift with the faith that God will either replace the gift, maybe even multiply it back to you, or bless it in another way. I do know God blesses faith giving. Giving a sacrificial gift with the faith that He will either replace the gift or bless it in another way, and sometimes He even multiplies it. Let me give you five ways that God blesses faith giving. Five ways that I've seen Him in my life and the lives of others that God blesses faith giving. He, first of all, can replace the gift. It comes from unexpected places many times. Sometimes He replaces it with an unexpected check in the mail, or an unexpected overtime, or unexpected bonus, an unexpected promotion in the work field. Numbers of people in our church over the years, after they've got involved in faith promise giving, and within a short period of time, after they've reached out there and done, you know, all they felt like God would allow them to do, many times they've got a promotion or a raise at work that more than covered for what they promised there for the whole year. And so God is able to do that. I'm not saying He's going to do that for you. That may not be where the blessings are needed, but He can replace the gift. He can also rebuke the devourer. So what's that talking about? It's talking about that which devours your income, that which devours your money. And you say, how does that work? Well, many times, and this happened to one of many times, you know, anytime I'm thinking about buying something that I need that's going to be more than just pull it out of my wallet and pay for it, you know what I'm talking about there? And that's been a lot of times over the years. When I'm doing that, a significant purchase, I shop, I look for the sales, I look for the best prices and so forth. And there's been many times where I've settled on what was the best price, went to buy it, and get there, and it's less than what I thought it was going to be, even with the sale. I remember buying years ago a refrigerator. Went there to buy the refrigerator. I had shopped. They had a good sale going on. That's the one I'm going to get. And I got there, and I was about to buy it. And the guy said, now listen, he said, I'll sell you this one. But he said, I got one over here that's got a scratch on the side of it, and I'll take significantly much amount off of that if you want that one. And the scratch was on the side that I wouldn't show on our refrigerator, you know, against the wall kind of thing. And I said, thank you, Lord. And I've done that in many times, in many ways, where God has done that. And I always feel like that's God rebuking the devourer. And He does that. He is able to do that. But here's one a lot of times folks don't think about as far as the blessings on faith giving. Is He can give us the joy of sacrificing. The joy of sacrificing. When I was in Bible college, you know, I started Faith Promise offering. My first one was the year before I went to Bible college. And after I got there, I continued that and grew in faith and the participation of that and so forth. But there was one time that I remember particularly that when I gave my tithe and gave my Faith Promise offering on Sunday morning, I had zilch left. I didn't have enough left for a candy bar. I was broke. Now, I knew I was going to get paid later the next week, but I was broke that day. I was going to get paid later that week. Well, when we were in college, a lot of colleges like this. You know, I lived in the dorm, had the cafeteria where I ate all my meals, except supper on Sunday. They did not provide supper on Sunday night. That sound familiar to some of you? And I went to church that morning and I thought, wonder who's going to invite me over for supper tonight. I mean, nobody had before, but I thought, now I'm broke and I'm going to be hungry. And I went Sunday morning and guess what? Nobody said a thing. And I had my meal for the lunch there, so I ate that. And I went Sunday night. And I was hungry. And Sunday night, nobody said a thing. I remember going back to my dormitory room. And I was disappointed. I have to admit, I was disappointed. And I I found a package of two saltine crackers in my room. And I sat there that night and I ate those two saltine crackers and drank water. And I was feeling a little bit low, and then I got to thinking, you know, the cause of Christ around the world and my missions giving is worth a whole lot more than a meal. And then I read some things in the scriptures about the joy of sacrificing for the Lord. And I particularly got to thinking about, you know, there in 1 Corinthians, I'm not going to quote the verse, but anyway, where Paul was talking about all that he went through, you know, three times shipwrecked and all those kind of things. I'm going off the top of my head, so I'm not going to quote give you a reference on that. But anyway, he was talking about that, and I was saying about, man, look what he went through. Look what he went through. And what turned into feeling kind of sorry for myself turned into a rejoicing time. I said, you know, this is a small thing, but it is a sacrifice when you're hungry and you don't have anything to eat. But I didn't have any trouble sleeping that night. And I went to bed that night. I had joy in my heart because I knew I had made a sacrifice. You know, what I gave to missions would have bought me a nice meal. But it was more important to be faithful to missions that night, that day, than it was to have a meal that night. By the way, when I got up the next morning, I went over and got breakfast. I was hungry. What I'm saying is, you know, there's something you want, you'd like to have, you'd like to do, and you're being faithful in your tithes and your missions offering, and you can't do that thing right now. Exercise some delayed gratification and let it know it'll be worth, just remind yourself, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. The joy of sacrificing. And then the blessing of building our faith and increasing our joy while meeting the needs of His work. Say, how does it build our faith? Well, I know there's been many times over the years it took faith to see the money come in, and then faith to give it. There's always somewhere else you could use it. Amen? And yet that builds your faith when you see God supply it so you can give. And by the way, as far as I am sure, I have never missed another meal since that time for what I gave. We've had some lean times and haven't always had what we wanted to eat every time. You follow what I'm saying? Never had to have that happen again. But I have seen God bless us and bless us and bless us. I always said this, for the first many years of our ministry, things were slim pickings as far as income was concerned. And I'm not complaining about that. I'm just stating the fact. But I always felt like we lived higher than what we made, because God brought special blessings in along the way. And I still feel that that's going on in our lives today. It builds your faith when you see God supply your needs, is what I'm saying. And at the same time, it's having a lot to do with forwarding the cause of Christ. And then one other thing I want to mention. Sometimes the blessing comes in totally unrelated areas. I believe obedience to God and faithfulness to God in this area doesn't just bring in blessings in this area of life. God does not compartmentalize your life like you and I tend to do. Like if I'll be faithful in giving, I'll have it good in finances. And if I'll be faithful in prayer, I'll hear prayer, you know, have prayers answered. And you think about different faithful in church attendance and this and that, blessings on my church life or whatever, and we try to compartmentalize that. But I believe there's been times in my life and probably your life as well where I needed blessings in other areas more than I needed a financial blessing at that time. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, there are times we need blessings from God and help from God concerning our children. Amen. I would far rather see good things, significant things happening in the life of my children than a few more bucks in the bank. Amen. Sometimes children turn in directions they shouldn't be turning. And as a parent, I always, when they were home, you know, we'd pull the leash back a little bit, you know, or maybe a lot. But what really was a blessing is when God got a hold of their hearts and pulls them back. And those are blessings that they're not particularly related to our giving. God may choose to bless our giving by doing something real special in the lives of our kids. It could have to do with our children or our health or their health or special victories or special blessings that come our way. It's not related to finances, but they're still blessings and victories. Amen. Faith. Faith giving. Now let me give you the words and I'll be real brief. Faith promise. I believe when I make a faith promise commitment, the only condition of the promise is that God makes it possible for me to give. Possible. It doesn't have to always be easy or convenient or without sacrifice. But if He makes it possible for me to give, that's the contingency. That's what the promise is contingent upon, that God makes it possible. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? You might not be able to get that better car you've been wanting to get for a while. Maybe never the one you're wanting. Or take that expensive vacation. Or make fewer trips to Starbucks. And they're not the only one, are they? And that's not the only, you say, you don't even like coffee. I know that. Fewer trips to get a Coke or whatever it is you want. The only condition is God makes it possible. Faith, promise, missions. It's missions. I think I know your pastor well enough. I'm sure I know your pastor well enough to know that when you give a faith, promise, missions offering, it's going to go for the missions endeavor of the church. I'm talking about missions. It's going to go to missionaries and to missions projects. It'll be used for that. I know as a pastor years ago and things were really tight and we had some money in our missions account and we were very low on the general fund account, and I was meeting with the officers one time and one of them was a fairly young Christian, hadn't been around that long, and he said, "Well, preacher, we got this money over here. Why don't we just borrow that and use it for the general fund?" And I said, because it wasn't given for the general fund. I went to a financial seminar years ago, and one of the things, they were very secular-minded. One of the things they said is, don't ever allow offerings to accumulate in a designated account that you can't use it for something else if you want it. And I thought, this guy's out in left field as far as I'm concerned, because when we promote a missions offering, it's going for missions. Faith, promise, missions, offering. Now the definition of an offering is money given above and beyond a tithe. I have to be careful I don't get wound up too much on that, but I do want to say this tonight. Tithing is the foundation of the stewardship of money. The Bible is very clear the tithe is the Lord's. And in a very real sense, not that anybody around here would say, "Hey, pay up, buddy." But I believe our attitude toward tithing should be, we pay our tithes because it's the Lord's. It belongs to Him. And I believe with all my heart that if you'll be a faithful Christian in other areas and faithful in the tithe, giving God the tithe, that's the Lord's, if you'll do that, God will cause the 90% that's left to go farther than the whole thing would have if you had not tithed. And while you got me on this subject here tonight, the tithe is to the local church. I believe in storehouse tithing. Why are you saying that, preacher? If I made $100 a week, and I'm glad I make more than that, okay? But if I made $100 a week, my tithe is $10. And if I get this big idea, you know, I want to give to missions, I think I'll give the church $750 and give $250 to missions, I'm not tithing anymore. Following? The tithe goes to the local church that you're a part of. What you're doing is you are designating the tithe. And I don't believe we ought to designate the tithe. We ought to give the tithe. And the church uses it as it knows it's supposed to be used for the ministry of that church. And so, if you're making $100 a week and you want to give $250 to missions, you go ahead and give your $10 to your church and $250 to your faith promise offering. And I'm just using those numbers just to illustrate a point there. And so it's an offering, which means it's above the tithe for the missions work of the church. I've heard people say this, and I've heard even some preachers say something like this. Boy, if you encourage your people too much to give to missions, your church is going to go broke. And I'll tell you, Whittier Lane Baptist Church and dozens of churches I know of across the country have exactly the opposite testimony. The more our people gave to missions, the more our general fund grew. You say, explain it, preacher. God does what He wants to do. And He supplies our needs. And He does. And so I believe that the tithe is the Lord's, and I believe as Christians we ought to want to give a missions offering. And I know we've been at it a while, but I'm not done yet, okay? How much should I give? I assume I'm not the only one that's ever wrestled with that. I want to give you some principles to think about, and I'll go through them as quickly as I should. But how much should I give? How much should I promise? What should I put on my card? What should I plan to do in faith promise missions giving? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 5 through 8. Now, I'll just refer to it. I'm not going to try to teach and preach this. This is another message in itself, and so I'll not do that to you tonight. But it's great stuff on giving. It really is. And it's talking about a missions offering. That's what it's talking about there. But how much should I give? Let me give you some thoughts. First of all, in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible says, "The Lord loveth a cheerful giver." And so what I would say is, first of all, you need to give an amount that you can cheerfully give. Somebody says, "That means I don't need to give much. I'd be happy about that." Well, there's two sides to that. To be a cheerful giver, I have to give enough that I can feel good about what I'm giving. I'm just being honest with you. At this time in my life, and we've been in faith promise giving now, I have been in it for 50 years, more than 50 years I've been doing this. And so, you know, you do grow in the grace of giving, the capacity to give and the heart to give. You grow with that, and thank God for that. But if I, and I'm not criticizing, if it's somebody else's number, I'm not criticizing you. Please understand that. But if my faith promise commitment was $20 a week, in the light of what God's allowed us to do along the way, in the light of what I want to do and can do, I couldn't feel good about it. Just couldn't feel good about it. You follow what I'm saying? Somebody said, "I was thinking 20. If that's what God's laid on your heart, give it. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying I can do more. We can do, by the grace of God, we can do more than that. And we do and have. Did you ever go to some kind of gathering where there were gifts? Like somebody had an anniversary or somebody had a birthday and you took a gift and you gave the gift, and after you got there you started thinking, "I could have done better than that." Has anybody besides me ever felt like that? You don't want to be that way with your faith promise missions giving. Amen. Give enough to be cheerful in that you're given enough to feel good about what you're given, but don't give so much that you give grudgingly. Don't put down such a number that you're going to make a burden on yourself that discourages you and you don't want to do it when the time comes. So God loves a cheerful giver. You say, well, how do I figure what that is? I think one of the keys is give an amount that recognizes the worthiness of the cause. The worthiness of cause. What is the cause? Well, consider the value of souls. Consider the value of good churches that our missionaries plant. And consider the value of good Christian people that are one to Christ and discipled in those churches. And they become salt of the earth kind of people. Consider the value of it all. Another illustration, when you talk about the worthiness of the cause, I cannot tell you how many rolls of wrapping paper or boxes of Christmas cards or such like that I bought over the years. And I did it just because I felt like some kid came up to me and I didn't want to disappoint him. Has anybody done that besides me? And in our church over the years, kids, you know, come around and I find a guy who said, Wanda, when somebody comes to you, find the cheapest thing on there. I want to encourage them, but it's not worth us spending a lot of money on. But missions is. Everybody with me? The worthiness of the cause. So kids, I don't want to buy any of your stuff. That's just good. The worthiness of the cause. And then consider the law of sowing and reaping. In verse 8 of this 2 Corinthians 9, it says, I'm in the wrong, in verse 6 it says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Sparingly is given a little. Bountifully is in your heart giving a lot. Amen? And it says, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Now, let me tell you about this. It's not just talking about sowing and reaping money. Although, God has a way of giving it back and blessing us for it financially. But here's the way I look at it now. It's if I sow sparingly, we're only going to help get a very little bit done for missions. You follow? If I sow bountifully, to me that means more souls saved and more churches planted and more Christians discipled and trained, workers on the field. And I want to have a bountiful harvest, not of just because of the money I gave, I get money back, but because the thing's worth more than money. The souls of men. And doesn't it make sense? The more we give, the more we can accomplish. They will accomplish. The more you give, the more missionaries you can support. And the more you give, the more you can raise missionaries as they need it, because they do need it. And those kinds of things. So the amount that recognizes the worthiness of the cause, the law of sowing and reaping, and hopefully something. Something. And maybe, hopefully, not just, hopefully, maybe you can give more than last year. Talking about on an individual basis. Somebody says, preacher, my salary is today what it was this time last year. I make the same amount of money. I'm not giving a bit more. If that's where you feel good about, that's fine. I'm not criticizing that at all. But verse 8 of this passage says this. He said, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That word grace, I use that all the time, and I've used it for years of my ministry. I hope God will give you grace. Somebody's suffering, somebody's sorrowing, somebody's hurting. You follow what I'm saying? Hope God will give you grace. And then we talk about God will give you grace to be able to do what you need to do for the Lord, like courage and strength and all that. That's grace of God as well. And I finally figured out the best word to me that parallels grace as it works in the life of a believer is the word help. Help. When God gives you grace, He's given you help. Whether He's comforting your heart or giving you enabling grace to where you can do more than you could have done without that grace. Amen? Your pastor has had grace growing in his life over the years, and he's a better preacher today than he was 10 years ago. That's the grace of God working in his life. Amen? And we could go on down the line with different ones, but this is not talking about the grace of doing, this is the grace of giving. He says, able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. What good work are they talking about? The good work of giving. And God is able to make grace abound. So what did you say all that for? To say this. You could be at the same income level and all that, but God could give you more grace in your heart toward giving. I've often said our gifts are determined more by the size of our heart than it is by the size of our bank account. All right, that's true in our lives and true in many others. The bank account is a factor. I understand that. Certainly is. But as far as reaching out and trusting God for some more, that's a healthy thing to do. Three words to remember and I'll be done. When it comes to your faith promise giving is the word faith. First of all, faith. Faith that God will supply it for you to be able to give. Faith that God will use it to further His kingdom. And faith that God will bless you for your humble gift. And humble doesn't mean small. Humble means you're not boisterous about it. Here's a non-humble gift. The offering plate's being passed, and you're raising a special offering for something, and the pastor's appealed to the congregation, you need to really give to this. And brother so-and-so, brother proud guy, as the plate comes by, all of a sudden he has to yawn and shake his $100 bill so everybody sees it before he puts it in the plate. Don't blow a trumpet before it. Just do it in simplicity. You might be the biggest missions giver in this church. And instead of trying to let everybody else know you are that, thank God you can do what you can do. God will bless your humble gift. Faith and then love. Love gives. That's a characteristic of love. Selfishness keeps. Love gives. Love for God and love for souls. David, after he had committed the sin of numbering the people, and God had actually sent a pestilence and thousands of men had died in it, he was offering a special offering to God as the death angel had stopped there, and an offering of thanksgiving and his repentance and all of that. He went to Aaron, a man by the name of Aaron, who had a threshing floor there where he offered this special offering to God. And Aaron has said, I'll give you the animal to sacrifice. I'll give you the wood to burn. I'll give you everything you need. And David said, I will not offer anything to the Lord that costs me nothing. We should want it to cost us. I love my wife. I'll say that publicly. Anytime you want me to. I'm not talking to her, I'm talking to the rest of you now, okay? I love my wife. You know, special anniversary comes up. I'm wanting to give her a special gift for a special anniversary or Christmas or whatever it is. I want to give her something. And I picked it out, and you know it's going to cost me some money. I mean, it's not like it won't dent her bank account at all. You know what I'm saying? Brother Tad comes over, and he's, you know, Daddy Warbucks, and as nobody knows, he's not, but he comes up and says, Brother Frank, let me buy that for her. Or let me give you the money to buy that for her. And I'm going to say, I want to buy it. I love her. And I want it to be a gift from me. You can't do that for me. Anybody follow? That's how we ought to think of our giving to God. We love Him. So faith and love, love does give, and faithfulness. Faithfulness. this is kind of plain talk, but I told our church, so I'll just tell you this. I'm leaving tomorrow anyway, so. But anyway, I'll tell you this. I believe when you put it on a card, if you make a weekly promise for missions a year from now, you should have given 52 times that amount, at least. That's an every week thing. It's not just the weeks you're here. If you go on vacation, you ought to pay it before you go or make it up when you get back. Because you're making a promise not to the preacher, you're making a promise to God. And if you want to make a promise to God, you ought to keep it. If you make a promise to the preacher, you ought to keep it. To any of us, you ought to keep it. Well, God understands. Well, what God understands is you broke your word. Because He knows whether or not you could have done it. Now that's enough being rough on you. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And then I want to say this. We have a few children in here tonight. And some of you have children, teenagers and so forth, and even younger. Get the kids involved. Let them give. Let them learn to ask God to help them give their missions offering. Giving's a lesson for every group, every age group. And that's not so that we can have a great big offering for the kids, because that's probably not going to happen. But they need to learn to give. Wanda used to, and I used to ask the Lord, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? And then for many, many years we prayed, Lord, what would Thou allow me to do? It's a little different wording, isn't it? So I hope these are practical things that will help you with what Faith Promise is. Faith Promise Missions Offering. Some thoughts about how much should I give. Amount you can cheerfully give. Amount that recognizes the worthiness of the cause and the law of sowing and reaping. And hopefully, something and hopefully more than what you individually gave last year. Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the wonderful biblical principle of faith giving. Thank You, Lord, that You've shown us about that in Your word. And Lord, in putting it to practice year after year after year, not only for missions, but especially for missions, we've done that in our lives consistently. We've seen Your blessings on it. We've seen Your blessings not only on us for giving, but we've heard the reports of missionaries we've helped support and missions projects that we've helped support. Lord, we know it's right, it's good, it's real, it's biblical. And as we would expect, it does work. And Father, I pray tonight that every member of this church will be honestly, sincerely asking You, Lord, what would You have me to do for Faith Promise Missions in the coming year? And Lord, I pray they'd make that a matter of prayer between now and the time to sign the card. And Lord, I pray that they'll each have the satisfaction of knowing they're doing what You've led them to do. Lord, I pray You'll bless this church in every way. Bless this pastor and his leadership. Bless these people in their personal walk with Christ. Have Your way in hearts and lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.